You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Good happy day to you. Guess what? Episode 400. It is here. Episode 400. We made it. I've been talking about this here for quite some time that we're working on it and to make this episode special. And this episode is very special. Today, you're going to hear Lost Boy Philip and I in Marceline, Missouri, Walt Disney's boyhood home, reconnecting with the original magic of Walt Disney and Disney as it was. And part of what made us love Disney is everything. I mean, Marceline is just where the magic lives. We actually recorded this the same weekend that D23 was going on, which is kind of a funny thing. And in fact, some of the museum staff was there in D23, and I think they had some of their items there as well at D23. But we still went and we had a good time, and I get to share that audio with you today. And I've got so much exciting stuff coming up in the next couple episodes. We've talking to Marshall Younger and Phil Lawler, which I've got those both recorded, and we'll be releasing those in the next few weeks. I'm actually going to have some weekly episodes again for a while because I've pre-recorded stuff. I didn't record anything new so much this week other than what you're hearing right now. I'm recording this right now, this week, and I plan to release this here this weekend and hopefully have it to you by Monday. But not only am I recording this audio, but if you would like to see what Philip and I are talking about, if you go to the YouTube channel, I'm going to upload, you got to be careful because there's, on my YouTube channel, I have one that's more connected with the Spider-Pan, and I got one that's labeled the Fandom Nexus, but I got like two different Fandom Nexus channels, one that's got a good amount of followers, the other one has barely got any followers because I don't really do anything with it, but it's more connected to my personal YouTube channel. But I'm going to upload into the main one. If you go to Neverland the Fandom Nexus, you should be able to find it, and heck, I'll just upload this to both places. But there will be video where we weren't allowed to take video inside the museum. But we were allowed to take photos. So we did take photos. And for the most part, what we're talking about, I've got a photo that coincides with it. But I mixed together some photos we've taken, some photos I've taken from previous trips, some video I've taken from previous trips. And I've kind of mishmashed it all together to make a nice, fun YouTube video where you can hear Philip and I's entire Marceline adventure. And have some video to correspond, so you can kind of get a look at what we're talking about. It's not an exact science, you know. It doesn't match up perfectly all the time because, you know, sometimes we're talking about something that I didn't get a photo of. And when we're inside Mall Vicks and we're eating lunch, I don't really have any photos inside Mall Vicks because I was eating. I didn't take a photo of our food. I'm sorry, that's very un-Instagram of me, isn't it? But there's a great video for you to go and take a look at if you would like, and you can see us all together. And the only thing you're going to miss pretty much at the end of the show, it will be like the typical thank yous and everything that I do at the end of the show, and maybe talk about what's coming up in the next couple of weeks, which I've already mentioned. Well, you know what? I might even just let that be the end of the show, you know, because you already, well, you know, nah, I'm going to thank everybody later. I'm going to thank everybody because I have an exit music and everything. But I do want to talk a little bit about what I've been playing. I'm still playing Dragon Age Inquisition. I think I'm about to wrap that up. I've done nearly every side mission that I want to do in that RPG. And I've got several, you know, I think I'm over 70 hours into that game. My goodness. And I'm about to wrap up the main story stuff because I've done all the side quest things. But there is a demo for Valkyrie Elysium, which you might have remembered Philip and I talking about that when a trailer came out a few months ago. Well, there's a demo out. I haven't got a chance to sit down on it because I was playing Dragon Age Inquisition, but I'm going to try that demo out. So that's what I'm about to be playing. But I wanted to let you know the demo is available because I think it's a very cool looking game. So I want to check it out. You're going to play this Valkyrie girl and I don't know. I don't know much more about the story than that. Other than the trailer looked pretty cool, and I thought I'd give it a try. So what I've been watching this week, actually Andor came out this week, but we're going to talk about that next week. But what I did watch this week, and I was a little behind on this, was season 5 of Cobra Kai, which I'm going to say overall, yes, indeedy, I did enjoy it. The story, the characters, everything, the writing on that has been very good consistently for now 5 seasons. I think it's been consistently good. I did appreciate that this season was a little less teenage drama than some of the previous seasons and more focused on, we had a good almost mustache twirling villain in Terry. Wow, my brain just went out the window. I forgot Terry's last name. But you know the character. He was in Karate Kid 3, and he was very much a mustache-twirling type of villain in that one, a little over the top, just really kind of crazy. And they've given some room for him to be a little bit more subtle this time, but still just as manipulative and conniving. And overall, it seems like his main villainy in this would be his idea, his ideology of, well, because he's taken like one character, Kenny, who seemed a lovably sweet kid and you wanted some better things for him, and he's turned Kenny into kind of a bully. And that's definitely not the way we wanted him to go. So it's interesting to see the ideology and what it does. And the last things we saw that Terry did was he got John Kreese arrested for an assault, and that is dealt with very well in season 5. So we get to see some of that story, and we get to see some more villainous things, and hopefully some stuff that maybe they did connect with Terry, because there's some stuff that happened in season 5 that's definitely criminal that, you know, hopefully gets latched onto Terry. There's something that happens at the end that I'm like, if one character had just been a little bit more patient, then maybe things would have gone different for them. I don't want to say what that's about. The only complaints I really would like to make is this franchise started with PG-rated movies, and you could take your kids and watch these movies without any qualms. This series, I mean, even the first season had some, let's say, artwork that was not age appropriate for kids to see, I think. But this one started out episode 1 with multiple instances of F-bombs. Even if they were in Spanish, it's still printed up on screen, but that was not the end of it. We nearly every episode had those F-bombs. And I don't think that was appropriate for something that kids are wanting to watch. And this is even something Philip and I were discussing, because his nephew's gotten all into Karate Kid after the movies and has enjoyed Cobra Kai. But it was bothered him that, you know, he doesn't want this language used around his nephew. And I can understand that. And I don't feel it's appropriate for a franchise that was built upon families being able to watch that and have something that is not really overall family appropriate. Now, some people probably don't care about that language and whatever, don't mind. But I don't think that's quite appropriate for the PG audience you're aiming for. I mean, that'll get you an instant PG-13 if you utter it once in a film. If you do it twice, you're an R-rated movie. And they have it several times in this season. So this basically turned this into an R. I mean, the first episode, clear, would be an R-rated. And that's not what this franchise should be. So that would be my one complaint. Other than I feel like Daniel forgot some of the lessons Miyagi taught him about mercy. But then again, we have seen him slowly hit that gray area between Miyagi-Do and I guess Eagle Fang and Cobra Kai. And he did go a little Cobra Kai there in the third film. And there's definitely one instance that was like, you know, Miyagi would be very disappointed in you, what you just did. There's very important things about keeping your word and not being deceptive, and honor is an important thing. And Daniel does something in this season that I thought was very actually dishonorable, and he was not keeping his word on purpose. And I think Miyagi would have some words for him. Overall, though, they did bring in some classic characters. Chosen as more of a character. They've just made him the most lovable guy that you'd want to hang with. He's just, and you can tell there's still that part of him that he is still that tough. You don't mess with this guy, Chosen, that we know from Karate Kid Part 2. But we've seen like the nice guy, good-hearted guy, very wise. Even some of the things he teaches the students. Chosen, he's my favorite character out of this season. He was just a great character. But we also get to see Mike Barnes return. I'm not going to tell you what happens with that. There was some really good humor in this season as well. I did laugh at a lot of things that were done pretty much for funny. Some of the hero characters, I think, are going to get away from stuff that would actually be criminal. Some assault, maybe. Chosen basically committed assault on a group of guys that was like, oops, I'm sorry, I guess you guys weren't my enemies after all. There's kind of a bit like that. And then even the final episode, there's definitely a bit of breaking and entering, trespassing going on, even a theft that's shown in the final episode. And it's done, you know, it's kind of humorous, but it's like, that's still a crime, you know. It's like, hey, you're supposed to be our good guys. So, but overall, yes, a very good season. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with season 6. And I've even heard some talk that Sony Pictures wants to pick up the franchise with another movie, which personally, I think, you know, you've got a good thing going on with Cobra Kai. If you have some more good stories to tell, keep telling it through Cobra Kai. A movie is, you know, fine. I guess you can make some money that way. But no, I mean, unless you're going to wrap up the series with a theatrical film, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure where they're going with this. But that is, I guess, something Sony is talking about doing while they have control over the franchise. I think that wraps up everything I wanted to talk to you about before we just get started in Marceline. So let me just toss it over to me right now in Marceline. Well, here we are. We're actually inside the museum. The tour is about to start, but this is it, our 400th episode, and we're recording live. It sounds like we got a tour about to start here, Phil, so we'll wander this way. We'll look in the gift shop here in a little bit. Here we go. I wonder how much it's changed in the last 3 years. Hi there. I haven't seen you in a long, long, long time. I haven't been here in like 3 years now.
Okay.
So it seems like forever.
Yes. Well, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good. You brought your entourage along.
Well, I was aiming for an entourage. I'm recording actually the 400th episode today. But I've, you know, this is my pastor and my best friend since I was 7.
Well,
and,
very good.
He's nice been co-hosting you. With me.
What's
so.
Your name here?
Inez.
It's nice to meet you.
Not many of us around.
Oh. Yeah. Inez. Yeah. Not many, but she's got some serious history.
Wonderful.
Oh my goodness.
So anyway, we appreciate you coming.
No problem.
And the Disney family stepped off the train right out there in 1906.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Mother and Dad decided Chicago was no longer a safe place to raise their family.
Mm-hmm.
Smoky and crime-ridden streets.
Mm-hmm.
Elias and Flora had grown up on a farm, and they wanted that for their children. They had 5. Herbert, Raymond, Roy, Walt, and Ruth. Well, Herbert and Raymond were teenagers. They liked Chicago, but Dad said, we're all going to Marceline. So they came, but they didn't stay very long. Came over here in the dark of the night and jumped on a freight train and went back to Chicago. It was easy. We have 70 trains that go through a day. So they didn't spend much of their life here. But Walt and Ruth loved here. Roy didn't. wall. But this is the house they lived in. And when you go to the farm today, you'll see a large red house. This is encompassed within that house, but it isn't open for tours. It's a private residence. So,
I'm still trying to get myself an invite in there.
You're still what?
I'm still trying to get myself an invite in there. Somebody, because I hear Kay has kept like Walt's room the way it was, and yes, I've never gotten to see it. I've just heard.
She and a bunch of our volunteers are in D23 today.
Oh, of course they are.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I picked a weird time to schedule my 400th episode recording. It's a D23 day.
We have pictures back, and we knew it was taking her a long time, and she had a lot of people helping her, but she's got a very good likeness of this building in their booth.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So when you get...
So there's probably some items missing that normally would be in the museum that they're showing off over at D23, isn't there?
Yeah.
Figures.
Well, you're here.
But we're here. Yes. The magic's here. It's not at D23.
Right.
It's here.
Right. So the first... This is just for people who bring children who are...
Oh, yeah.
But I guess none of you would like to do that.
Well, we're kids at heart, right?
But the first video to watch is in there because that tells you about them coming on a train. Mm-hmm. And work your way around the room, and the videos and the pictures will tell you the story.
Thank you, mm-hmm. ma'am. I really appreciate it.
And she's got some serious stories from 1956 there. The pen is, she's got some stories on her button there.
Awesome.
So, yeah, they opened up their home when Walt came back to dedicate
that's
the pool.
That's awesome.
So... And actually, that's why her daughter is Kay Mallins that bought the house, because they were trying to buy it for Walt. Walt was going to build a park where that house is, but it didn't quite come around that way. But yeah, so I'm sure the museum is entirely different from when you first saw it. It's even different from the first time I stepped in here. The gift shop was actually in here the first time I was here.
Yeah, I remember, actually.
Yeah. But this room is kind of dedicated to the Santa Fe Railroad. There's an entire booth back there outside that we'll get into that's also a lot of the Santa Fe Railroad.
Because I remember being in here, in a little area.
I should be careful about the audio of the TVs. So there's probably a copyright on it, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't recall these dishes being in here before.
Now it's pretty safe to say Walt's lifetime love affair with all things train started in this very simple. Walt's uncle Martin was a conductor.
Yeah, I'm vaguely picking up the audio of that, but I'm sorry, I don't want to record their videos. So we're moving right into this room. There's a lot you can learn over there, of course, from them coming. I love this lamp. This was not here before. I also love that they're showing the Alice comedies here.
Yeah, that was a big deal at the time.
Yeah. That's actually new. Alice in Wonderland and Oswald and Trolley Troubles. I wonder if they show the Trolley Troubles over in here, too.
So here by the train stuff that they have, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going through the room. Now, the fun thing is, one of the times that Walt came back, nobody really knew about this dreaming tree thing until he came over and started telling stories about it. And here's Walt and Roy over by the dreaming tree. And this is where he would tell stories to little Ruth.
Yeah.
And this is why Ruth would say he was like the greatest storyteller ever, even as a boy. But that's where that imagination was just growing. And he would draw pictures and stuff under this tree.
I think every kid has a place, I don't know about every kid, but I know I did, has a place where they just let their imagination go crazy.
Yeah, and there is, it says, it was large cottonwood, still stands where Walt played, studied belly botany, and hatched his schemes. Now, unfortunately, the tree was, weather has destroyed it, but they've got Son of the Dreaming Tree that's over there. We'll go get and look at that later. They have labeled Walt. I was about to say, can you find young Walt in this picture over here at a school? But there he is. He's labeled right there.
You've seen his eyes.
Kind of.
This is a very fuzzy, fuzzy picture.
I bet Ruth is in this picture somewhere, too.
Very blonde looking in this.
Yeah. The black and white ones.
Those guys are from Pete's Dragon a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
And they say in this other photo you can find Roy, because he started at ninth grade. I don't know if they've got Roy labeled. I don't know. And I don't know that if Ruth is in this picture. I can't remember. See, well, it says Walt was nearly 7 when he enrolled for school because his father wanted him to wait until Ruth was old enough to go. So, yeah, Ruth should be in here, too. So he started school a little late.
This is probably Roy's right here, most likely.
Yeah, Roy is up in that one. Yeah, that's what I was just talking about, because he was ninth grade. You spotted him?
I'm pretty sure. Isn't that him up there at the top? At least it looks similar.
What one from the right there?
Yeah, it seems like I could be wrong, but just that. Yeah.
Or you that middle tall guy.
I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Had that Roy look.
I was thinking of the slightly blonde-headed guy there, second from the right.
Might be right.
It's hard to tell. They didn't label him.
Yeah, they didn't. But he just had that Roy look. You might be right.
Okay, now here's the Park School in 1946. I think this is part of the return, some of these photos. Oh, yeah, here's, I love this photo. Oh.
Yeah, I saw
it. And there's Inez Johnson, who we were just talking to in the video. Yeah, she's super sweet. And you know, somebody had told me they thought that she had passed away. I'm glad she didn't. She's still with us.
Everybody's telling me that, actually.
Yeah, somebody had told me that, and I think he did say something on the show. What was this program? Band concert by Marshalling School Board, invocation. I wonder if this was the program. Yeah, because, yeah, an address by Mr. Walt Disney. Bruce Barnes, architect. Pink Panther shirt. This, I wonder if this was the dedication for. Let me see what it says. Well, he's trying to film videos. Let me go around here, this other side, see what this program is. Does it say on the inside? Cornerstone ceremony and dedication to the open house of Walt Disney Elementary School. Oh, okay. And I think they still have the cornerstone, but the school is no longer like that.
My dad would have been 1 year old at that point.
Oh, my goodness. I've been told so many stories on this wall over here. Okay, so I already mentioned. Yeah, I've actually met this boy all grown up, actually over at Mauve Vicks. I've got his entire story recorded, if I can find the audio of it, because I lost that hard drive. But Inez's daughter is right there as a little girl, a little 8-year-old, and that is Miss Marceline being crowned by Walt Disney.
Is she the one who lives in that house?
Yeah, Kay lives over in that house, but she's not here. Yeah. She's over at D23, which I kind of figured. I've heard the story also of this, of Walt pointing over here. They premiered the Great Locomotive Chase here in Marceline, and they had the kids had never seen the Mickey Mouse Club, but they all learned how to sing the song. And so they sang it, and Walt had a little tear out of his eye, then they sang it to him, but he got up there, and he pointed over to this clock over there, and says, well, time for the show. I will show you the theater where that happened.
That's cute.
But yeah, there's some of the pool dedication over here. This is when they brought him back. But yeah, they, Inez and her husband, they're the only house around here that had central air. So when Walt came, they wanted to make sure that he had good air conditioning because it was the best house in town. So they had him stay over at their house.
That's cool.
Which is part of Inez's stories. And her husband and Walt became pretty good friends.
So it's 4 years later into that one.
Yeah, 4 years later. This is where they came back with the school. The playground equipment that he brought. Yep. Do they have one of the flags? Like the orange flag has only flown, over the firehouse. Uh-huh. And I think over the school, because that's the one he got for the school. You know, but there's the Disneyland flag, but there's an orange flag you see on the other side.
This one here in the middle is shown 1956. That's only 10 years before he died. And then 1960 shows
think about
here.
It,
that's only 6 years before he's passed on. So he probably had the cancer.
Morbid.
I'm glad that he got to do all these things.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, it's
because they did. Well, he didn't know he had cancer until he went in. But yeah, here's the orange flag. That's a rarity. You got to see this. And I don't know if you've seen, like down in my master bedroom there, I've actually got a miniature version here.
That's cool.
But it was only flown at the school.
Mickey Mouse Club days in the late 50s, early 60s.
Only here in the firehouses and places. It was actually, I think, meant to be part of the ski lodge that he was going to build in California, but he didn't get permission. But there you go.
That is so cute. I love that.
And that's a great flag. And I'm so happy they've got it still and it's preserved.
Yeah.
You saw the Disneyland flag on the opposite side of this thing, right? But see, it's all coming back to me, all the things I've learned for all my trips coming here.
The funny thing is,
I'm being a good tour guide.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know stuff they put in here. We used to hear that as kids, but I love the old spelling book here. My mom has some of these, actually. The MacGuffins.
MacGuffies. Let's go to the other side of this desk. I want to challenge you to find something.
Here's the old
bell. Yeah.
And it's cracked. It's not the Liberty Bell, it's the Disney Bell.
It's the Disney Bell. Let's see, featuring Walt Disney Marceline's favorite son, Walt Disney's first grade desk, school bell used by principal of Park School when Walt Disney was a student, Mickey Mouse flag and Disneyland flag donated by Walt Disney, the 1960 dedication of Marceline's first Walt Disney Elementary School.
Little toy.
Yeah, animal safari. But go to the other side of this desk. I'm going to challenge you to find something.
I guess those are...
All right, from this angle, you should be able to read it. Find Walt Disney's initials.
I see it.
There it is. Yep. It's twice over. That's how he found it when he came back. He found his, he looked and checked all the desks looking for his initials and said, this was my desk.
That's great.
So that's how they know it's him. Now, this actually still belongs to the school, but the school loans it to them over here at the museum. But they like to display it at the school as well, apparently.
You know, even though he vandalized, this is a historical vandalism.
Historical vandalism. That's one of the times you're kind of glad somebody vandalized their school desk.
Historical. It's a historical vandalism. I like it.
Although at the time you would not have known it.
Oh, you would have. Heck, I got in trouble for drawing all the time. Not necessarily in the books, because when I did something like such, I got beat for it at home. Not in a real beating, but you know, with them.
And here it is. Here's Walt
there it is.
Finding his desk
there
with his
it
initials.
Is. He's pointing out. Look at that smile on his face. And his brother sitting there like, oh, you devil, you. Like a brother would. Because his brother was the more serious one.
Right, more serious-minded, more business-minded.
I like this. This is true. To Marceline was in 1960 for the dedication to the new, what is that?
$336,000.
That was a lot of money then, especially compared to the way it is now. I mean, you got to realize.
And then the next sentence, he even sent artist Bob Moore from his studio to decorate the building with Disney character murals.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, we can't go inside the school, but we can look in the window and you can see some of the murals.
That's awesome. I love murals like that.
It's very, very cool. Yeah. On the flagpole from the Olympics at Squaw Valley, where he had been chairman of pageantry and special Mickey Mouse pennant, matching the moment flew over his Disneyland apartment, which is the ones that put behind us. But that pole is still the one that
That's
he
awesome.
Was at the Olympics at Squaw
and
Valley.
All sorts of, it shows a diploma, his high school diploma, at least a copy of it, if nothing else.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, he didn't graduate from Marceline High School.
Oh, I see. Well,
this is very honorary.
This is an honorary thing. Well, hey, at least they got that.
Yeah, he moved down to Kansas City by then, but he was sent to the Kansas City Art Institute. About. Yes, there's the flag.
That's great. They showed him on up there. That's great.
This museum's got all kinds of great stuff. You even got the telegrams going back and forth to invite Walt down here.
That's neat. Western Union.
So, but here's, I love this. There's a photo of, there's some of the murals in the gym of the school.
Oh, yeah. You can see a lot of that.
Yes, there's a Bambi.
I love that. So it's goofy.
I'd love to go and
basketball.
Look inside that school. It would be so cool.
Here's the pods they had built.
Yeah, he brought some playground equipment.
See, there's something fun about doing for young'uns like you would have loved to have had when you were a kid.
Now, we can go. They've been rebuilding on this track. I've walked the path of the original. Wow. The Midget Autopia was taken out of Disneyland. Well, you know, he basically built a small one here, but brought it out of Disneyland. And this is one of the original cars. They've done a rebuild outside. We'll go and take a look at it here later. I need to get some photos when I'm outside. But
I love it. I love the little picture they have here. They have a big old painting. It has paint stuff put on it.
I think you just pronounced it like RC. He's come here several times and painted actually quite a few murals you're going to see around this museum. He's kind of got a really kind of fun, colorful style to his art. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat.
But, you know, there's Kay there in the video.
Yeah,
she's been on the show before. She's a real sweet, nice lady, too.
Wonderful.
Oh, and here's when they go to D23 and stuff like that, they usually take a bench and have a bunch of people sign it. And that's one of these benches. I think there's another one out there, too, in the main hall. But, yeah, there's the people. Oh, I forgot I was going to bring some Sharpies so we could sign the barn. I'll have to show you the circus barn or whatever when we get over to there. One of these, I've actually seen some names from people that I'm actually familiar with from different podcasts. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be this one. But I believe it's at D23. They just take a bench and get it signed by everybody there that wants to. And they load it up.
2019.
Yeah, it's hard to find like particular names on there. I know my name's not there, unfortunately. I've never been to D23.
You're turning all over your goofy. My name's not on there.
I wonder if they moved the plaque. This was relocated from Magic Kingdom of Disneyland as a gift to the children of Marceline, or of this community, from Marceline's favorite sons, Walt and Roy Disney. Accepted in appreciation 1966, July. So, and here's like the dedication of bringing
that
it back.
Few months left. Huh?
Yep. But I can show you the park where that used to be, and they've rebuilt it here just outside. We'll go take a look at it when we're done looking here. Yeah, clocks. Here's Walt Disney World, Marceline and Disneyland clocks.
That's cool.
So we know what time it is.
Yeah, everywhere. I remember that.
All righty.
That's really cool.
Well, they have postcards of different things here now, too. I'm going to have to see. Yeah, there's some books over there. I'm kind of wanting to go. Okay, I think we can go through this door mainly, I think. Oh, Oh, that's fun. And those were boys that actually showed up over at Inez, her home, asking, when's the pool going to be open?
I would have to go back in time and meet them.
Oh, man.
These masks? What are these?
Yeah, they're masks for COVID masks.
This tree's what's on it.
Looks like it's the Dreaming Tree.
The Dreaming Tree.
Yep. If you go into the post office, they'll stamp something with a Dreaming Tree cancel stamp for you, too. But yeah, we can look in the gift shop here later. We still got a lot of museum to look at. We're just getting started, dude. But yeah, because there's definitely, I want to definitely look around the gift shop. And yeah, so this is where I bought my flag that I have at home. So, all right. Now we're into the big room. We're allowed to do that now, because when I first came here, we weren't allowed to take photos, so I never have. Although I think I do have one picture with Mickey, but we need one together.
We don't allow videos,
but
yeah.
But we can take photos. But yeah, we'll need a picture. I'm going to stop what I'm doing here. Oh yeah, that was their last
time. When you finish in this room, you go through that open door back there, and follow this yellow arrow, and then you don't miss anything.
Right.
If you need help to get to the second floor, we've got an elevator.
I wear a lot of Mickey Mouse ties and all.
You should see his tie collection.
I like to say, I'm a pastor. I wear ties constantly. Mickey Mouse, I love classic Mickey. My man.
I agree.
I think even before we get to this room, we got to look at the family room back here. Oh, I guess it loops around. Okay, there's an arrow that points us back into this room. Oh, Phil, look at all the... I didn't see these. Look at the old comic books.
Yeah,
I was pointing at. Oh, it just didn't click at me.
I had some of these. And I have one. I think still, but it's not in great condition. But mine was super goofy.
Wonder what the sign is. Ball Road and Harbor Boulevard. Let me see. Magic. Oh, there's a magic band scanner somewhere, I guess, huh? What I wonder. Street signs. These iconic Anaheim street signs were gifted to Robert Penfield during his retirement ceremony celebrating 42-year career working in a Disney company. The intersection of S Harbor Boulevard and West Ball Road frames the northeast corner of the Disney Resort and is situated next to Team Disney Anaheim cast building. Okay, well, that's cool.
What's really cute is Mickey's holding his ears.
Oh, in this comic book.
The hammering, and that's what Goofy's making, see?
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, these are...
I love these old...
comics.
They really did stuff with his face that, you know, you didn't see much in the cartoons. Yeah. And sometimes they made his eyes blue, sometimes not. Because, they want to make it different than what you're seeing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's great stuff.
I wonder who the artist was on all these. Does it say? I don't know.
But that's where they started making certain characters come to life, like Mickey's nephews. They started coming to life really in these comics. That's where
instead of the orphan picnic.
Yeah. You started bringing a lot of these characters to life in the comics. That's where really Scrooge McDuck became a character, was in these comics.
Was in the comic books. I could think of the guy's name.
Mickey's painting Pluto's bone with
candy cane stripes. Yeah.
That's cute. Oh, there you are. Morty and Marty, I think it is. Is that right? Maybe that's not right. But it sounds
Mortimer. Mortimer was Mouse was a different guy, but the two nephews.
Mickey and Morty or something like that.
I don't know. I don't know the names of the nephews.
Yeah, it was Morty and Mickey or something. No, not Mickey. It'd be Morty and Marty or something like that.
Well, somebody can send that to us by email.
Yeah,
what were the name of Mickey's two nephews that are pictured here? Wearing the little hats.
I know that I have it in the cookbook, and it says it.
Nice.
Because it's like, it's Morty and something. And it might be Marty. Morty and Marty. But yeah. I remember that it has them, them making snowballs for, you know, snowballs are like the little cookies with coconut on it outside of it.
Oh, yeah, snowball cookies.
Yeah.
Grandma and I used to make those.
Oh, real good stuff. Yeah, I love these old comic books. That's how they would a lot of times, you know, you back then you didn't have videos you could watch, so you would have comic books and books and things, and you could bring them home with you and have them part of your life.
Somewhere I've actually got an old, I think a Donald Duck comic that Heather found in an antique store actually up in the, that Amish town.
How cute these boys are talking.
Davy Crockett shirts.
And they're wearing Davy Crockett t-shirts. How adorable.
He tracks down some Davy Crockett fans in the heart of Marshalling, cooling off besides the pond in E.P. Ripley Park, which we'll go to the pond in E.P. Ripley Park. That's actually right next door to us here. But I got to look. I love this. Look at this tricycle.
It's adorable.
Oh, my gosh. And it's got an old vintage pie-eyed Mickey.
Colson.
Velocipedes and wheeled toys. Wow. And this it's probably been restored a little bit because this is really good condition.
I imagine it had to make it look like what would have been.
Yeah. Oh, that is great. I just love that picture, but I got to go look over here. I got to look it over here because I got to start in this. Look at these old, I guess these are old records. Pinocchio narrated by Cliff Edwards, dear to my heart, Cinderella, told by Jeanette MacDonald. Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, as told and sung by Dennis Day. I love Dennis Day.
Oh, Peter and the Wolf.
Peter and the Wolf. Yeah.
As a kid, we had, I think it was on tape, but we had it. There's Dumbo.
Wallpaper from Walt's Disneyland apartment. Oh my gosh. Cool. And the Disneyland band hat from what year? Wow.
Look at the little, we call those little wands.
Baton.
Baton, that's yeah. It. I know someone was probably yelling.
Conductor's a baton.
That's a baton. Conductors have a baton, not a wand. They're not Harry Potter.
You know that.
A Donald Duck tin tea set. How cool is that? Look at that. Claymuck, it all started with a mouse. Walt sitting in a chair with a mouse. Okay, oh, my goodness.
It's a stuffed Mickey Mouse.
You're going to have to take a lot of photos because I'm busy holding a microphone.
This is just too cool.
Yeah. Which, I guess, so no video, but we can take photos. When I'm done recording, I'm going to come back and take some pictures.
Got to get it where there's not blazing here.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic stuff. Oh, just wait till you get upstairs and you see the model of Disneyland upstairs.
I like how cola spelled with a K.
Oh, look, yeah.
America's finest cola. Biggest thirst value under the sun.
Dealers with that.
I love that stuff.
Drennan's drugstore prohibition prescription. Okay, that's it down here.
There you got a Marceline. I'm sure this shows the time.
McAllister Brothers Creamery and Marceline Bottling Works. That must be, well, that's what this big box is. I guess that's what that thing is, too. To make ends meet, Flora Disney often sold her hand-churned butter at the creamery. The extra income was a welcome cushion for somewhat frugal Elias, isn't he? And he often discouraged his family from consuming the precious commodity at home. So this, yeah, McAllister's was founded in 1891 and continued operation as late as 1953. So this bottling company is where his mama would sell butter.
Oh, that's
which I've heard stories about his butter. You did not waste her butter. It was that good.
Good.
If you dropped your toast, everybody looked at you like you ate it off the floor.
All families have their things, you know, that you don't mess with mama or you don't mess with daddy about this, you know.
Oh.
Mickey Mouse Spring, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that great?
1949 by Fisher Price Toys. Wow. Fisher Price was around all the way back then. That's cool. Vintage Mickey Mouse Choo Choo Train. Was a favorite among young children. When the string is pulled, Mickey strikes the bell.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, that's cute.
Oh, that's fun. I kind of want to play with it.
My dad would have been just a little baby. He would have been 4 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Well, look at this. Here's Kent Johnson, Kay Johnson. This is stuff with Walt Disney. Gave Kay some autographed pictures here. Look at this.
I've seen that painting. I love it.
Yeah. Signed by the man himself.
I love how Mickey Mouse looks almost 3D-ish there.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's really good artwork.
Oh, it's great, the shading and all.
Oh, my goodness.
And at that time, when they did that, I don't remember what year it was, but in that time, they were going in the late 50s, they were going through a time
1956,
Mouse,
it says.
Sometimes they're making a shading inside his ears where it did almost look 3D.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long.
They did that little highlight you can see there.
Yeah, they didn't last very long because sometimes it looked kind of strange, but that one didn't.
Oh, look at this banner. Wish Upon a Brighter Star, a new fantasy land coming true in 1983. Look at this. Is this the original painting of it? Or?
You know, that would have been.
Concept art. Okay, here we go. Disneyland was going to reimagine Fantasyland and fabricate a large wall to hide the construction. They turned to Imagineer Kim Irvine to design this beautiful original concept art, which was then used to create the temporary facade at the entrance of Sleeping Beauty's castle. Wow. So this is what would have been up there to hide the construction.
You know, that would have been just a year after I visited Disney World.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. For the first time.
Yeah, when you were just a little
guy. I had when I was a baby, but I don't remember any of that. I mean, I was a baby.
The Jungle Cruise book from the Disneyland Hotel. Did I say boot? Jungle Cruise boot. It's a boat. It's a beautiful boat.
That's true.
It was hand-painted guitar circa 2014.
Oh, look at Mickey.
Guy Gilchrist. Did he do this? Guy Gilchrist did some of those Ninja Turtle artwork, and he did Muppet Babies, but he also was a Disney artist.
You can see the very almost caricature yet comic booky style here, and I love it.
Guy Gilchrist. I've got to meet him because he used to come up here all the time for Toon Fest. He is a really great guy and a fantastic artist.
Yeah, I love his style.
Oh, I love this guitar.
This seems like something you would have seen in an old Well, some of the old books you would have got from like Hardee's or McDonald's that you've seen from like, they were doing it almost in a cartoony way for the children. Like,
oh, and look back here. It's Walton Roy by the Dreaming Tree.
Oh,
not Walton Roy, but Walton Ruth. Ruth.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Otherwise, Roy had some things he was doing. But
oh, and look at the magic of Mickey is coming out from the house. Like,
down here in this book, it looks like Walt. Is that Walt who signed that?
It looks like it. Let's see. Walt Disney's Waterbirds book. Here lies a short story that was generously donated by Jeremy Schwarzkopf, not me, unfortunately, passed down from his great-grandfather, who was once the principal of Walt Disney School. This edition of Waterbirds was signed by Walt Disney himself. The book was later converted to be an animated film, which was awarded an Oscar for Best Short Subject and a BAFTA Film Award for Best Documentary Film in the United States, circa 1953. Whoa, that's great.
I've seen segments of it, and the animation, of course, is always tremendous.
Oh, look at this. What is this?
It's a sundial thing.
Well, a sundial would have a thing on it. It's, well, there's museums. It's a Toon Hole cover.
Oh!
Someone ordered manhole covers for Toontown from La Marita Foundry. They delivered two extras, which were stored down in the area we called the Boneyard.
Get a picture.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, my goodness. And here's the original sign for the museum. Oh, my goodness.
I got one of you on each side. Behind the hand works better.
We're definitely going to have to, you know, come back for me to take some photos, too. Oh, look at this record player. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, look, boy, Mickey looks very different.
Yes. Very different for those little miniature records.
But
like,
that artist I'm here for.
Oh, my goodness.
I like that Coca-Cola thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, your dad would have loved it.
Hat, or we have it still.
Oh, wow.
In my mom's dining room. But that, he would have went nuts over that.
Mickey Mouse, Old King Cole. I wonder which one they're talking about.
Oh,
must be this, the Old King Cole.
He came up here for a tour. My dad did.
Oh, it was nearly, nearly what it was
like,
here.
Oh, son,
he'd love this.
Everything.
Look, a Flynn's Arcade token down here. Oh, my gosh. Mad Tea Party token and Starcade token. I can't really hardly see it. I should have my glasses on.
Yeah,
look how cool that is. There's the that's the Carol Wood barn that he built to when he was building his trains with. I forgot which one of the Imagineers built those trains with him.
Here's the engineer oil can there.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's when we want this look for trains. It doesn't say.
One old Green Lantern of the.
Yeah. It's a railway oil can, and does it? What does it say about the light?
It looks like
it's a railway light thing.
Yeah,
lantern.
There's a yellow thing here, and there's a.
Yeah. Oh, how cool is that? Look at this Davy Crockett little outfit. Oh, with the videotape.
Yeah, videotape somewhere. Oh, that's from when he turned 60. I remember it.
Yeah, 60 years with you. It even says right there on the gumball machine.
They had that pink.
The pink cummerbund. Yeah.
And I remember I loved it because that pink.
You have to make sure you say what it is you're looking at for the audio people.
Yeah.
The 60-year gumball machine with Mickey standing on top. Were those in the parks?
I'm not sure.
Is that where you've seen it before? Where you recognize it, or do you just recognize the
logo
what he's wearing?
They had that logo, yeah. Mickey, and the pink cummerbund and all that.
Little golden book of Davy Crockett. There's, of course, the videotape, but then there's like a little kid outfit here, Davy Crockett outfit and little golden book. Oh, my goodness. And then Marceline, Missouri, Municipal Swimming Pool. Oh, cool. They kept the plaque because the swimming pool's not active anymore.
Yeah.
But they've got the plaque in here. That's really cool. Oh, I swear this sign was out here the first time I came along. I remember seeing this sign out there. I think I took some pictures of it.
Look at the old balloon.
Yeah, the old balloon's old here.
Look how old the Mickey looks there. It's that really old style.
Oh, look at, is this like a, that's like a pocket watch.
Oh.
That is so cool.
We're all nerding out.
Oh, yes, we are. I love this museum.
Those were always scary, man. It's just a great big stuff.
The weird. No, that's the costume. Those are the original costumes. They were scary as heck, dude.
They are.
Yes.
They look like? They look like a messed up mime.
Well, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's somebody in a costume. That's one of the versions.
I'll get you. Oh, boy.
Let's see. This room here. I think this is the room I used to, first time I came here, they were showing the documentary that his daughter Ruth, or not Ruth, his daughter, though, had put together because she got tired of people saying stuff that he was frozen and underneath the castle and stuff. But I sat here and watched the entire documentary, and I learned
good
so much stuff.
Good for her. People,
Diane Disney Miller, yeah.
People made all sorts of stupid things. I jokingly made a picture making fun of that where, you know, now the Star Wars is a part of Disney, where I had a picture of Walt Disney with the Frozen Han thing, the carbonite, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I was making fun of the rumors, that's all.
I wonder, because right, this is an ambassador hat.
Yeah, I've seen.
And I guess the medal, a 50-year anniversary. Because I've met, they had film. One, Ken Facey, one of the ambassadors, actually come here. I got to meet him. Super nice guy.
There's an old Disney film. You remember how they used to have these Sunday night specials?
Yep,
it
yep.
showed a young lady wearing that at one point, coming up meeting him, wearing a vest like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was always awful cute.
Oh, my goodness. This room is entirely new. For me here. I mean, the whole ambassador room. Look, I love that snow globe of the castle.
Yeah, I like it.
Christopher White, 2005, Walt Disney World Ambassador.
That Mickey Mouse down at Disneyland.
Oh.
Or Alan Disneyland.
Out in Disneyland. Oh, and there's the teddy bear guy.
Yeah.
So this was all from Christopher White, which is that a photo of him? And then somebody named Sarah.
There's this 64. I'm assuming it's newer, but it shows the Disneyland pin, and it's a great big Disney D, and it has a Tinkerbell over the castle. That's awesome.
That is really cool. First ambassador selected in 1964. Wow. So these are okay. So this, and it says on this picture here, a story told through the experiences of two Walt Disney Hometown Museum board members, Sarah Spike, 2004 ambassador team, and Christopher White, 2005 ambassador team. So they're board members of the museum, and they brought all their uniforms.
Looks
look
like
at this.
Or whoever it was.
So the Vinylmation.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Vinylmation.
Yeah.
That you can buy those in the parks, but is that one that they made of Christopher White?
It's pretty cool.
It's a Disney Ambassador Vinylmation was gifted my son Cameron by the 2013-2014 Ambassador Team, Rich Tomeo and Ty Arnold, during a family vacation to Walt Disney World. My son was a huge collector of Vinylmation at the time, so he was thrilled to receive this unique addition to his collection. So it's just a generic ambassador.
Oh, I see. But it does look...
That's really neat.
It's nice. If I was... I would go nuts over that.
Yeah.
Collector of toys.
Don't lean on the glass.
I'm on the...
I would just be careful. But look at these costumes with, oh my goodness, like the vests, got all the Mickey heads and D's on them. Oh, wow.
I like this picture here. It shows Mickey.
That's a little drawing, making an official statement. Look at the ambassador badge on that. So hear ye, citizens of all nations, be it known that Walt Disney World Ambassador Team will represent Walt Disney World and the millions of happy citizen vacationers. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's long.
It shows Mickey drawn almost like some of the 1700s or 1800s. He's got a scroll.
Yeah, he's got like an old patriot-style hat on.
Yeah,
look at this here in the center. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how to explain it other than it's like recreations of the Sorcerer's Apprentice and three different things where he's up on a thing doing the magic. He's casting a spell on a broom. Yeah, and there's where he's falling asleep in the chair.
Wow.
There's a description over here. Let's see. Sorcerer Mickey Bronze Table, designed by talented Oregon artist Michael Maiden. This bronze artist proof derives its color from a process called force oxidation patina. The proper colorization is achieved when different acids and nitrates are applied to the bronze, then heated with a blowtorch, forcing the bronze into these specific hues. This is a 1 in 30 produced by artist and was gifted to the museum by an anonymous donor. Ooh.
Look at here. They had the tickets to the 35th anniversary.
Wow, Sonny Gummy, Winnie the Pooh, Goofy, Brer Fox,
Roger
Scrooge
Rabbit.
McDuck. Oh my gosh, Brer Rabbit, Pinocchio.
Look
at these. There's another set over here of all these special tickets.
Chip and Dale from the Rescue Rangers.
They all say sorry, no win. I wonder what that's about.
I don't know, but it's like they had like a little prize contest.
To celebrate Disneyland, each guest was given a ticket, and upon entry would be told if their ticket was a winner or not. If they had a winning ticket, they could proceed to the Dream Machine, a huge device that was put on the hub of Main Street. Here, guests could offer up their winning tickets for prizes such as Disney videos, Mickey Mouse watches, pins, posters, plush toys, or coins. But the luckiest guest could win a brand new GEO car.
Wow.
1990.
That's awesome.
Wow. Look at this. What is this? For Alexa Party, see them illuminated. It says Silly Symphony Lights by Noma. It's got three little pigs and all kinds of characters. These must be the lights themselves. Silly Symphony Holiday Lights. That's fun. I love this Mickey Mouse watch down here.
Oh, yeah, we're talking old.
Wow.
Hey, look.
Oh, my goodness.
It's got the old stuff toys.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Here we go.
Train. Oh, my gosh.
a living legacy to the master storyteller of the world, dedicated in the spring of 1973 at Walt Disney World. What is it? What are we looking at? It's a story press kit, I guess. Huh. Oh, look at this Star Tours poster. Well, it's not really a poster, but I mean, it's a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool. It is Walt, Goofy, and Donald. Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, they're standing and looks on Main Street and pointing in the sky as the ship from Star Tours is flying by, plus an X-Wing.
X-Wing, yeah.
Walt Disney Cartoon Cinema thing. Oh, this looks like you scroll the cartoons along. Oh, look at the home movie cartoons.
I remember that kind of stuff. Now,
that's a small size like that either.
These little things that you would put them on there and you'd roll them, and they're pictures, and you'd roll them, and you could see it kind
scrolling
of animated
pictures.
On it.
Yeah.
I would play with this.
I remember the larger ones that Fisher Price used to make.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Grocery stores.
Oh, look, a paint set, Minnie Mouse wooden shoes. These are so cool. Stuff I've never seen. Mickey Mouse money. I wonder if that was their cone bills. In 1936, Southern Dairies became a Disney license and started to produce notes that resembled dollar bills. These bills could be used at theaters to host a Mickey Mouse Club gatherings in exchange for ice cream.
I love this Pluto tin
little
toy.
Tin toys. Mm-hmm. And a Donald Duck here. Is that supposed to be Pluto on the back of the car that Donald's driving?
See it over here. His face.
Oh, look. Mickey's Fire Brigade picture on this. I guess it's a pencil set.
Yeah.
Or the pencil set. The paint set's back there. Yeah. A pencil set. Oh, that's so cool. All right, moving into the next rooms. I'm glad they have arrows now to kind of guide you. I used to just wander any old direction I wanted and want to go in here, but no, they're trying to point us. So here's where you can learn a bit more about his family. In 1933, after two miscarriages, Lily gave birth to Diane Marie Disney. Walt was receiving an award from Parents Magazine when he got the news that Lily was in labor. He rushed out of the ceremony without a word and arrived at a hospital in time for the birth. Unable to have more children, Lily and Walt adopted their other daughter, Sharon Mae Disney, in 1937. Walt doted on his two daughters equally. When he died in 1966, he had 8 grandchildren.
Wonderful.
Oh, there they are, but this... The whole family born in 1901 in Chicago before they came here. Oh, there's a lot of great old family photos. I wonder if they've got
this picture here. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, is that there's Roy.
That was deeply a part of
Roy E. Disney. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a part of Walt's life deeply.
Yeah.
It's almost like the son he never had in a way, in not saying anything against the daughters. It's just the fact that he was deeply a part of his life. In fact, he was deeply a part of the company, too.
Yeah, Roy E. Disney. For the longest time.
If it weren't for him, the animation, Little Mermaid and others, would not have been made.
Yeah, he did a lot. Yeah. He even helped fix some of the parks because people running Disney company was bad.
It sounds silly. I don't care. I cried when he died. I did. Because I would always keep up on him.
Yeah.
I loved him.
I always loved him. He'd pop up on Sunday night stuff. Sometimes you'd see good old Roy E.
Wonderful. I loved him.
And then, of course, here's his father, Roy O. Disney.
Yeah, there he is.
We owe him so much. We wouldn't have all this Disney stuff really without Roy, too. Yeah. Roy needs to get some
Roy
credit.
E. was a lot like a combination of his dad and his uncle.
His dad and his uncle.
He was like the perfect combination of them both.
Yeah. Good old Roy.
Yeah, Roy.
I'm glad they have a statue of him at Walt Disney World. Oh, I love this. This was Ruth's TV that she was given so she could watch the opening of Disneyland because she didn't have a TV, and so Walt sent her one. And this is, I believe it's the one it was Ruth, or was it their mom? Ruth had it. Okay, Ruth Disney Beecher's son Teddy recalled, "My mother wasn't very fond of being in large crowds, so she declined Uncle Walt's invitation to opening day ceremonies of Disneyland in 1955. To be sure we could enjoy the ceremonies from our home, Uncle Walt sent Mother the money to purchase a new television set."
Yes.
So he didn't send the TV, he sent the money. But they're actually playing the footage of the special.
Not just that, the TVs of the time were a lot more breakable than what we have now.
Okay.
And so it would have been really not very wise to do that.
Yeah.
Better pick your own.
Although they have a different screen in there.
Well, sure.
It's a Disney Vision screen going on inside because the original screen's not there. Oh, there's little Ruth with Walt.
Oh, he'd be cute.
Ruth and Ted, yeah. Oh.
You can see those big eyes and big ears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love it, though. I love those ears. They're actually not big ears. They stick out a lot in the back, that's all.
Yeah.
But they're adorable.
So there's Flora, that's his mama, and there's Ruth, his baby sister. They got a whole pages on there to celebrate, celebrating strong Disney women. That's new.
That's good, though. That's good. He loves
his mama and his sister. Yeah. They got entire stories. My goodness.
Look at her. She's a cute little girl.
And then she grew up.
Good for her.
You can watch her grow up and go look at these pictures.
I love the old hairdos back then.
Yeah.
They're so cute, wavy hair.
wonderful.
My goodness.
I'm drawing the stuff here.
Yeah, that looks like a... I wonder if she drew those. Ruth Jensen was only one of Elias and Flora's children who did not settle in Los Angeles. She moved to Portland, Oregon with her parents and later married Theodore Charles Beecher. The Beechers settled in Portland and had a son, Theodore Warren, also known as Teddy over there. We saw his hat actually over there. Born in 1940, Roy and Walt always looked after their little sister. Walt once won $300 in a crafts game and immediately wired the money to his mother.
You may wonder what kind of hat it was. It was a Mickey Mouse hat.
Yeah. In case you didn't realize, when I just say a hat, it's clearly it's a Mickey Mouse hat which says Teddy. Yep. Oh, here's the other brothers.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Herbert here always looks to me, reminded me of Alan, you know, he was Wilbur. He was the voice of Scrooge McDuck. I forgot his last name for some reason.
Alan.
But he looks a lot like Alan.
But they all have the same basic looks of the nose and a little bit of the chin and all that, yeah.
I'm trying to think now. Okay, so he was the oldest one. One of these guys...
My nose went too far from that.
One of these guys became a mailman. Oh, here he was. Yeah. He found that too confining. He took a job as a mail carrier for the Postal Service. In 1920, he moved with his wife Louise and daughter and Dorothy to Portland, Oregon. But they were, I think... No, okay. Yeah, Walt and Roy were at the Pioneer Trust Company in Kansas City. But there's a quote that I think was in the documentary where Walt said his brother Herbert was smarter than him because he took a job at the post office instead of doing something crazy. Yeah, I couldn't cut it after 3 months.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Yeah, but I was not good at being a mail carrier. Then I attempted it. Let's see. I guess the idea would go upstairs. Oh, yeah, they got more artwork.
Raymond here.
Oh, Raymond over here. He always kind of looked like he's up to something. He just looks like he's clever.
You know who he looks similar to, though? Even though I realize it's based off of young Walt. But Mortimer Mouse?
Yeah, he does look like Mortimer Mouse. But he just kind of looked like he's like got some sort of clever scheme going on, doesn't he?
Might be clever. Who knows?
He smoked cigars, never married, and never learned to drive a car, and was often seen pedaling around in Los Angeles on an old-fashioned bicycle with balloon tires.
There we go. Mortimer had the cigar.
He was the last surviving Disney brother. Died in 1989 at the age of 99.
I'll be dogged. So he was around for the time that Mickey became... he was already 60 at the time, so he was around for a lot of that.
Yeah, he was around for a lot of it. I think he's the second oldest brother.
I'll be dogged.
So... There's Uncle Robert over there. Robert Disney was the main reason for Brother Elias and his family moving to Marceline. Yeah, I think it was Robert that helped him buy the farm, if I remember correctly.
He bought the farm.
Yeah, he bought the farm. Marceline, he was known as the Gold Bug Disney because he often spoke of the gold stock he owned. It was a big occasion for the Disney family when their elegant, distinguished Uncle Robert came to town by train from Kansas City.
There you go. That's where we're from.
Yeah, we're from Kansas City, in case they all didn't know. Here's a nice prayer of hands, a spring prayer at Christmas time, that God will bless your home and those who love with lasting happiness. Robert J. Bob, Disney and family. Oh, my goodness. Look, there's clips for like old video that they've transcribed some of the old videos over.
Card down here they have.
The prayer hands card. Hands. Yep, that's what I was just reading from. I just read it onto the show.
There you go. I'm sorry. It's a Christmas card.
Yep.
It just shows the prayer hand of the star. That's nice.
Oh, this is also nice too here. Every museum starts with a gift. Our gift came from the Disney family. During her lifetime, Ruth Flora Disney Beecher amassed a considerable collection of personal artifacts that showcase the achievements of her two world-famous brothers. From the early days of Marceline, Ruth relied on her siblings for both friendship and advice. The letters you'll see throughout this museum are intimate and personal and show a loving family relationship that lasted a lifetime. She gave them so much stuff. They got probably stuff they haven't put out yet. There's so much.
There's some beautiful pictures.
Robert
here.
Samuel Disney Jr.
Mm-hmm. Showing him as a baby. And there's cute dog looking at him, too.
Goodness. So there must be a lot of Ruth stuff.
Show some just married pictures. Let's see, who's this? Eli, is that Elias?
Elias's brother, Robert. Yep, Elias, that's Disney's and Walt's daddy.
Oh, that's
Elias.
That's nice.
Roy was married in Uncle Robert's home. Roy got married to Edna, which we saw the picture with him, Roy, and Edna. Cute little photo. So... there's an affidavit. I don't read necessarily everything usually. Yeah, there's Inez. Kate was just on this video just a second ago.
Nice.
These videos weren't here originally either.
There's Ruth.
Yeah, there's Ruth. I wonder where she'd passed away in 1995, huh? I wonder where she's buried at. Okay, yeah, it's in Portland, Oregon, so she must have just lived there the rest of her life. All right, now we got some stairs. But the nice thing about these stairs, you got something to read. More things of importance happened to me in Marceline than have happened since or are likely to in the future.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yes. And as we get up, hidden Mickey right there on this this artwork by that Mr. RC guy. pass by some people. He's going to take a lot longer to get up there.
Okay. That is okay.
All right, so now we're on the second floor, and you was just looking in the Club 55 room, which I don't remember what episode number it was, but I was actually here for the presentation Club 55 room, and I was telling Philip they actually had Tom Nabby, I think is how you say it. He was the first Tom Sawyer on Tom Sawyer Island, and on also the Robert... what was his name again? I want to be careful in here because there's a video that plays, and here takes the audio. What was his name again? Robert Penfield or Bob Penfield, I believe? Yeah, was it? 42-year, yeah. He was the last of the Club 55ers, and he donated some stuff for that room. So you're looking at a bunch of a collection of how Marceline inspired some movies.
Yes, and one of them that I've been telling you about a lot is Pollyanna, which I'm going to try to see if you can come over this week and watch. Because this is the one that I was telling you about, the guy Carl Malden, very great actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. I was reminding my Uncle Russell a little bit.
He kind of does.
Yeah. And then this guy, Agnes Moorehead, who was on a lot of shows, including Bewitched and other things. Agnes Moorehead, been on a lot of great movies and shows. That's her right there. And she was a redhead and was in a lot of great, great films. And the great inspiration of this, besides the town that's in this town here, is it's based off of a little bit, the small town. Feel, but when this movie is great, is the small town has kind of an attitude towards it, not necessarily a good one, but Pollyanna comes in with a good attitude, and it shows how attitudes can affect other attitudes.
Yeah.
And that's, you got to see, it's really a great film for that very reason.
Keep a pixie in your pocket, as I used to say on this show.
You got to watch Pollyanna. I'm telling you, Pollyanna is a great film all the way through.
But there's the story of Ferdinand, mm-hmm. Lady and the Tramp, so dear to my heart, mm-hmm. all got some inspiration because of this childhood in Marceline.
Main Street USA.
Mm-hmm. Main Street USA.
We knew that.
Yep.
And then there's So Dear to My Heart. Yeah.
Yep. Which, yeah, I was mentioning that it was over there. Yeah, there's the big poster. But I think that's a copy of the little book, the little golden book.
Yeah, that's kind of
nice. My cord is getting tangled. But, this is a branch from the Dreaming Tree right here.
Oh, cool.
Do not sit or place any object on the branch. Gentle touch only. Gentle touch only.
There we go.
They want to make sure this thing lasts. But here's Walt and Roy over there at the Dreaming Tree. Nice photo, though.
Take
yourself a picture of that there Dreaming Tree. Yep, piece of bark. This piece of bark was retrieved from Walt Disney's historic Dreaming Tree as it fell during a particularly harsh windstorm in 2015.
See, you can make good even out of bad.
There you go.
That's how I like
it. He was barking up the right tree. Huh? Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
There's the home and the farm.
Oh, I like that.
Well, you got to see what we're looking at here. You're only at the side of the... They've recreated the front of the house as it originally was.
Oh, I like that. That's really cool.
So if you come around here to the front of the... here at the porch. So there's a story right there about... Yeah, that was Walt drew that with tar on the front of the house, a bird in a nest, and while the parents were gone, he's over. Him and Ruth were playing around with it, and of course it could never come off because it was tar. There it is. But they recreated it here.
Well, I did something similar when I was a little kid. I drew on the wall. I was drawing the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, on the wall, and that's how when I first found out that God created paper to be drawn on, not a wall. And my mom had to wash it off. This was with a purple and blue crayon. I got whooped for it, rightly so. And I learned to draw. That's when I first learned I could draw. I was about 2 years old, and I learned not to do that. Two or three. I learned not to do that anymore.
Yeah. But it's funny, I like this, that Walt decided it would be fun to draw on the house. He told his sister that if they used tar, they would simply wipe it off later in the day, and their parents would not be none the wiser. Shows what Walt knew at the time. That's tar. What are we looking at over here? This looks like some farm equipment over here. Gold dust washing powder. Menon's berated toilet powder. And I don't know what this machine here is either. This is stuff about working hard on a farm. But what's fun, and that you get to draw something. Come on over here. Oh, there's the cornerstone for the. Well, that's Marceline Lodge. I thought that was the cornerstone of the school. Maybe it is. There's a person reflecting. When Walt came across the cornerstone, he pointed to it and suggested that it might be wise to preserve that unique piece of history when the building eventually closed. And there you go. So that is the cornerstone. So, yes, you are allowed to draw on the chalkboard here as a recreation of a park school classroom. So I don't draw very good, Mickey. This guy did. Because you did that one down there, I guess, right? Is that the one you just did? Nice.
Good job. Outstanding.
All right, now, Mr. Artist.
Well, yeah, but
We'll see. I'll probably do the old school Mickey.
Do an old school Mickey. Right. Do it. Do it. Do it. Maybe I'll take my hand and I'll attempt one.
Okay.
I used to draw, but that was 20 years ago.
Well, you never forget.
Yeah, I did. Last time I tried to draw something, it was terrible. I did draw some last time I was here, but it was 3 years ago since I've been here. So I guess I'll take a time out while we draw stuff. Okay, this is the farming implements we were just looking at. So we were just drawing on the chalkboard here. They have a recreation of the park school, and they allow you to draw. We both drew a Mickey. Yours, of course, turned out better than mine.
Oh, it's still not great.
So.
Proportion-wise, not perfect, because I was against the wall, and I didn't get the... Anyway, I'm a little hard on myself, because I like to do it right on paper, and all, but I didn't, so...
Yeah, I just realized when we started this episode, we did not introduce ourselves. We'll just, you know, well, of course, y'all know I get introduced in the opening here. Of course, I'm your Spider-Pan Jeremy, and of course, this is Lost Boy Philbin with me throughout as we go through the museum. Now, this, the artist passed away before he really finished all of this, but he was doing recreations of all of Disneyland here. And I've already taken some photos, so now I can just look at it. Your brother Matt would love this because he likes to do stuff with models. Yep. Take some photos while we're here. And here's the Walt Disney Celebration, September 11th, 1968. In 1968, the citizens of Marceline successfully lobbied the U.S. Postal Service to issue a commemorative stamp in honor of Walt Disney, which you can find a recreation of that stamp, actually, in the post office. It's a Walt Disney post office. It's the only federal building with Walt Disney's name on it. We'll go and check it out here later. But they have pictures of the stamp and a lot of Disney stamps. Oh, really great stuff. Yeah, and here's the Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm going to wind up in your photos the way I'm going. And I love that they have this Disneyland USA map in here. Oh, they still got Peter Whitehead in this video. He doesn't work here anymore. He moved back to Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to interview and talk to him. Actually, him and Kay came down my first convention, the Kansas City Comic Convention. They came down to talk about Marceline.
Oh, I remember.
Yep, yep. It's a great episode. It's nice being on the 400th episode that we should reflect on some of the stuff I've done in previous episodes. Oh, you know, I don't remember getting a photo of that front where it has, or maybe I did. Maybe I got the photo and I forgot that I, yeah, I did. You're going to go every angle on this. There's so much stuff to look at. Now, some of the stuff I'm not as familiar with. I mean, I know that's the Indiana Jones ride back over here in this corner. And I recognize Pirates of the Caribbean. There's a Davy Crockett Frontierland. But oh, yeah. Matt would love seeing this.
Yeah, that's why this guy really did a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great. And, of course, one of my favorites over here, your sister would love this, the Haunted Mansion over here.
Yeah.
A lot of just really great model work.
That did a great job.
That's fantastic. But he didn't quite get to finish. And they actually have the last piece he was working on over on a display on the wall.
What's this one here?
Over where?
Right here.
I believe that's part of the Jungle Cruise, maybe?
Is it?
Because I know this is the Indiana Jones ride. Maybe that's a part of Indiana Jones as well. I don't know.
It might be.
That's some webbing. No, I think it is part of the Jungle Cruise. Because what is this thing inside the cave? I don't know.
Sure. I don't know.
Well, there's the Smith Mamily Robinson Treehouse.
Yeah,
but you see over here, you got the teacup ride. And there's Snow White's house.
The teacup ride, I recognize it.
Yeah. Well, what were all these teacups for? I don't know. Here's some more great artwork from Mr. Arce. And this, I believe, is just a part of Main Street USA because here's the Main Street Cinema. Philip's knee is giving out on him. We've walked around. We're just getting started walking you around, brother. So hopefully that knee's going to get back in shape. The Main Street Cinema with Steamboat Willie. Lots of neat stuff around here. And what's neat about this is here's Fantasyland in Disneyland, and you got the castle from one end, and we go to the other side, and you have the whole opening of Fantasyland. And here, yeah, that's the back, of course, of the, I believe that's, yeah, that's not the Disneyland front. But it's even got the Mickey mural here in the front of the garden. Yeah, isn't that great? That is so great. This is just, it's all of Fantasyland sculpted in one thing. And here's the Disneyland Emporium, the Penny Arcade.
Oh, it's got it all.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. Here's the City Hall, the firehouse, which the firehouse, as you see, does have the orange Mickey Mouse flag flying over it. It's fantastic. It's just, and here's the last piece he was working on. He didn't get to finish. I think he was doing something with the Jungle Cruise. There it is. Let's let that train go by.
Over the span of 40 years, Dale Varner created his Disneyland masterpiece utilizing the simplest of household materials. Pins became flagpoles, cardboard was shaped into walls and hand-cut shingles. Dale utilized the set of Disneyland blueprints sent to him personally by Walt Disney to meticulously recreate the fantasy world he remembered from his childhood. And the piece you see mounted to the left is the model Dale was working on at the time of his death. Disneyland fans will be able to identify it as Tom Sawyer Island, complete with a Mark Twain riverboat. Oh, okay. Oh, I see the shape of the boat. All right. It looked like a boat. I thought it was going to be a Jungle Cruise. For the first time, the Walt Disney Hometown Museum invites guests to explore the unfinished elements preserved in the Varner collection. But yeah, here's the Matterhorn. But there you go. There's Small World.
It's a small world model after all.
Yeah, it is a very small model, but it's very, very cool.
Oh, great detail.
And I love the detail of the Matterhorn where you can see the tracks going in and out.
It has the bushes here. What do you call those?
Topiaries.
Topiaries. He has the topiaries, and they're all perfect.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. The Disneyland 40th Anniversary Time Capsule, July 17th, 1995. I wonder what was in it. Looks like there was a plaque. Are they actually going to get some of the stuff from the time capsule and be able to have it? Oh. Phil's knees going kaput. Okay, Ryan R.C. Christensen Profession. Okay, yeah. That's the stuff about his artwork there. And they out the Coca-Cola Corner, which we're going to see the real thing here when we go outside. But
my dad was a Coke collector and a half. In fact, we still have his Coke machine in the dining room, which was his, and it's an old 1950s one. It's pretty awesome.
Now, here's the part here's the thing for the Great Locomotive Chase when they showed that over here. At one point, they had a screen that was showing it, and I guess, that screen's not showing it no more.
There's a Star Trek connection. Jeffrey Hunter, the original captain, Captain Pike.
Oh, he was Captain... cool.
Yeah, Jeffrey Hunter right there, Star Trek connection.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that movie. I'd like to see the whole thing. But here's the part that breaks your heart. A Disney theme park in Marceline, the Marceline project that didn't come to completion. And this is why he had...
Also, it's a Jesus connection. Jeffrey Hunter played Jesus Christ in a movie.
What movie?
I'm trying to remember if it was The Greatest Story Ever Told. Not a great film, but...
I like that one, though.
But that's him, Jeffrey Hunter. So he had those beautiful blue eyes that just shine.
Yeah.
If you want to know... Well,
the blue-eyed Jesus. But yeah, there was where they nearly had. Walt passed away, and Roy was only going to be able to do one project, and he did the Walt Disney World one, but Marceline got put by the wayside. But this is how... Kay Mallins ended up, in that farmhouse as they bought the home.
Wonderful.
And then they ended up left still owning the home because they bought it for Walt, so that way no one knew Walt was trying to do it himself.
At least it's someone who cared enough to keep it going.
Yeah, so they kept the house, but they weren't able to build the park.
Yeah.
But they just thought, okay, we own this house, I guess we'll just live in it. But that is the Walt Disney Hometown Museum. Yeah, that's the cornerstone I was talking about before. So we'll meet our listeners again when we get outside. All right, so now we've left the museum and we're at Mavic's. We've visited my favorite antique store in town, and I found two of the old record storybooks. One of Mickey and the Brave Little Taylor, which is one I had when I was a child, that made that one my favorite Mickey Mouse cartoon. I also found Bambi Grows Up, a little golden book, which I had when I was a child, and then Mickey and the Beanstalk, also as a read-along record with the book. I'm hoping those records are going to play on my record player. But as we've gone down Main Street, I've shown you the old Toon Fest. Headquarters is now a country station, and you can't go inside to see if they have the murals still up. I hope they still have them, because I mean, those were original pieces of artwork from cartoonists, so I would hope that's preserved. But we've kind of driven down Main Street just a little bit and looked at Coke Corner, which I have photos of. I didn't take a picture this time because Phil's knee has about had it.
I'm sorry.
So that's okay. We went to the antique store, and you found some stuff for your mama.
Yes.
So, but now we're over here at Ma Vic's.
My mom was born at night, and she won't get mad at me. I mean, she doesn't mind her age because she looks at it as a blessing from the Lord. And I think that's the way you do look at things. But she was born in 1951. I found a lot of old books that came out around that time, 1953 and 1947 and things. And they used a lot of the books. She came from a small town called Richfield, Missouri. And so she used a lot of those books in schools and other things. And it's got that real old style art. And that's what I noticed right away. And she still has a lot of books like that. So I'm going to give those to her.
She probably appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
But I've shown you the Walt Disney Post Office, which is the only federal building with Walt Disney's name on it.
Oh, awesome.
That's also where they launched the official stamp.
I saw that.
Which I think I already mentioned before in the museum. I read the thing on the recording. So I think it was 1958 was the Walt Disney stamp.
I might have that wrong.
Before. Yeah. Is that the one that has his picture and has all the cartoons around?
Yeah, little cartoons kind of thing on the
side. I nearly bought something of that a while ago because I love that picture. I would like to have a shirt of that picture. That's a great picture.
But also, we did go do a little shop in the museum. I got a little, both of us, I guess, bought the book that's 366 Days of Walt, so you could read a Walt fact every year.
It's 366 Days of Walt, not $366 for the book.
Right, yeah. And then you bought one or two of Jeff Barnes' books.
Yeah, I have bought one, and I also bought a really cool bookmark. I read a lot of books and all, and also Bible things, obviously. I usually have scriptural bookmarks for that. But for this one, I also have some Star Wars books I keep around. And I made a bookmark once of the Frozen Han Solo and Carbonite, but because I can't find one made. You think they would, but this one they have there that I bought is the I call it the AT-AT, but it's the four-legged walk. What do you want to call it?
An AT-AT.
It was they call it for years. AT-AT. What they call it AT-AT. That's how they commercialize the toys. But this is kind of a 3D thing where it kind of moves. You see the shots going and the ship's going around it.
Neat. Like a lenticular kind of.
Lenticular. Yeah, I didn't know how you called it, but also on the top, you know how you usually have like either yarn or whatever coming out.
It wouldn't be Disney if there wasn't a kid crying.
That's true. But on the top, instead of having a little yarn or whatever coming up the top, it's got a little bitty foam AT-AT thing, like a rubbery foam AT-AT thing coming on the top. Because every single one of the other ones they have were princesses or whatever. They had a Princess Leia even. And on top of that one, they had, which I almost got, on the top of that one, they had a little rebel symbol. And on top of all the other ones, like princesses, they had like little, tiaras or whatever.
Tiara.
Yeah. Everyone had a little thing on top. And that one was, of course, an AT-AT. I was like, I still got to get it. It's a Star Wars. It's all the Star Wars ones that had that or Princess Leia. And I thought, no, I'd rather have that, an AT-AT.
You're an Empire guy.
Well, not really. It's just
favorite movie. That makes you an Empire guy.
It is my favorite movie, but mostly because I love Frozen Han. I love Chewbacca. And Chewbacca on that, you get to really see his heart. He's all about, no, I don't mean gets cut open or anything like that. No, that's a Tauntaun.
Eek. I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
No comment. I happen to love the fact that Chewbacca shows that he really does love C-3PO. Remember in the first one in New Hope where he's talking about ripping his arms off and he's looking like, ah.
Right.
And this one, C-3PO gets his arm shot off and he does everything he can to put it back together. And you just see he really is a loving guy. But a lot of people don't think about that, but it's true.
How Han, his best friend, the way he howls when Han gets frozen.
Yes, he's just such a loving guy. And Chewbacca was my guy. And here I was at the age of 3 seeing that. And I was like, my man, and Chewbacca's hurting and I want to hug him, and I got a stuffed toy of him that year. By the way, I got it again this year. I ordered it and it said,
I think I remember that you said something about it.
I got it again and I loved it so much that as a kid though it bothered me that the hair was in his eyes. I said, Mom was bothering him. So you know what she did? She cut the hair. She's a barber or a beautician. She cut the hair short so it wouldn't mean his eyes because she knew it bothered me.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
That's a cute story.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. As Bob Gurr would say, it's kind of a cute story.
Yeah.
I think it's Bob Gurr that would say that. Not, I know, because somebody actually put with the help of even a podcaster, he put together a book, and I've actually got like an audio version of part of it, and it's kind of a cute story. I think it's Bob Gurr, but it might be somebody else. Now, somebody's going to correct me and maybe send a thing. I don't know. I don't get a lot of email from y'all. Y'all don't email me.
Sure. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And Phil, being that pastor mode, can't help it. He's going, he talks to everybody that passes us by.
He can't help it.
I love everybody.
Yeah. He's asked everybody's name. So those are the Dusty Millers. Those are probably about the size we're going to get from the museum. They'll be little ones because they were at the museum then.
If I can find my.
Yeah, it's just a little one. But
if
see.
I find my ticket, I don't know where I
You didn't put it in your pocket?
Oh, I should have. Oh, there it is. It's just pressed
at
the bottom.
You got to make sure you have that ticket and show it to them. I kind of hope we get to keep the ticket because I love. They have each ticket has a different quote from Walt Disney. Mine says, to tell the truth, more important. Well, of course, that's the one I already read when we were at the stairs.
Oh.
But they stamp it. So I hang on to my tickets when I come into the thing because, I don't know, they're mementos for going to the museum.
I like this one. This one says, I'm glad I'm a small town boy. I'm glad Marceline is my town.
There you go. So, yeah, we get different Walt Disney quotes on the back of each one. So, yeah, my ticket has survived better than yours has, but, yeah, I preserved one.
Pocket getting crushed by everything but everything.
I think I had one that was, it might even still be in the car. I kept one in my car from the last time I was at the museum.
It was sitting there forever.
Mine was crushed by a phone, a wallet, and everything else.
Mine had a phone with it, which kind of kept it together, I guess. So far, you feel like you've learned a lot today?
I have. I already knew a lot from books, but there's nothing like being there in person.
Barbecue
right
chicken.
Though. Barbecue. He's a barbecue chicken, and I'm a hamburger.
He's a hamburger.
I'm a hamburger. Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back. We're going to go visit the park and the school later and get Phil's reactions to see. Because a lot of the stuff, you didn't see all this stuff because I don't think you knew it was all here.
Probably not.
So, all right. We're going to head over to the Walt Disney School, and I don't know if we'll be getting out of the car because I'm trying to take it easy on Phil's knee. There we go. And now from here, you can see a better look at this Main Street USA mural that someone painted a few years back.
I went right down the...
And I've got some photos of this. Oh, my gosh. Look at the tree has been kind of bleeding out here. Oh, the rain has been washing it out. But I love they got the drawing of stuff, and there's the water tower.
Birds have actually visited that tree.
They even drew the Casey's in there and the old house. All right, well, we're going to head...
Fall is actually visiting this place. All right.
Yeah, the leaves are starting to change. Nice. But I was talking about, you know, I haven't been here in like 3 years, and this has been like a homecoming for me.
Yeah.
It's just made me feel good just being here. Just being here and going past the movie theater.
Pepsi lid on that.
The movie theater where the Spirit of Mickey, which I saw a VHS for the Spirit of Mickey collection, and I almost got it, but I was like, I got to limit how much I'm spending here. But that, plus also that's where the Great Train or Great Locomotive Chase was first screened. So we've seen the Uptown Theater down here.
I love the way these old American small towns look. This is the Mayberry look to me, and I love it.
I'm going to turn the air down so I'm not blowing it into the microphone so bad.
I just love the old... classic old American towns. It's the way I always feel it ought to be. Of course, you know, I'm a Mayberry man at heart.
Yeah. But there's times I get tempted to move out here. Heather could teach in a school around here. I could have gotten a job at the country radio station around here. There's just so much sometimes. Look at the pumpkins! Look at the pumpkins! Look at the pumpkins!
They got a little
like look at the bears! Look at the bears! Look at the bears!
From Yogi
Bear.
Anyway. It's like a old... Here they go there. Little pumpkin sitting on the hay, and then I can't think what you call it—a trailer, little trailer back there.
You know, it's been kind of fun as we went to the antique store. The guy kind of recognized me and says, "You've been in here before. You used to come all the time, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." And while we were over at Ma Vic's, got getting to talk to other people. We met the pastor from a church in Blue Springs, and was talking to people. Probably got some new listeners. Who knows? Some people live down in Texas. Hopefully, they check out the show and they love us. You know, and they want to keep listening and they tell their friends.
Oh, this is kind of cute, Marceline Tigers.
That's all of the schools are right over here. So here's the high school.
That's nice.
And right over here, we're going to go over to the Walt Disney Elementary when they dedicated the school to them. I think the park equipment might still be here. I saw in the antique shop, they had little pins of the high school over here, which I thought was kind of neat. There's the high school. There's the middle school. And we'll take a right here on Walnut. And we can go down here to Walt Disney Elementary. How flippin' cool would it be to be a little kid here and you're going to Walt Disney Elementary?
That is awesome.
I mean, it doesn't get any cooler than that. It's like, I'm going to Walt Disney School. You know, my goodness.
I would flip out. Are you kidding me? Every day I come in a Mickey Mouse shirt.
Yeah.
I would. I come in my Mickey Mouse ears and thing. I know people would hate me, but I would do it.
Yeah. But this is still the same flagpole from the Squaw Valley Olympics. It's even got that thing.
I just like that sign, Walt Disney.
But here we are at Walt Disney Elementary now. I don't know if you want to be able to get out of the car or not to go look, but if you look in through these front windows, the lobby has got like a big Mickey Mouse head in the front, and there's some of the murals you can see. You got to put your eyes right up to the glass, but there's where all the murals are painted at this school.
Topping Elementary, the way it's built.
Yeah, it kind of does remind me of Topping, even though I only went to Topping up through first grade.
I went only in fifth grade, but that's when I went. A lot of fun. I like it.
Yeah, but and as I mentioned, there's the flagpole. That's where they originally had the orange Mickey Mouse flag and a Disneyland flag were flying off that pole.
Oh, I almost got a little Mickey Mouse.
And you can see it's got a little plaque about going being there for the Olympics or the Squaw Valley Olympics and stuff like that. And he brought that pole here when they dedicated the school to him, which is very, very cool. All right. But there's Walt Disney Elementary School. Alrighty, so we have driven down Main Street USA and looked at the signs. I've already got a photo of it, otherwise, so we didn't stop. But yeah, there's some nice, neat churches here. But as we drive down the Main Street, which is actually Santa Fe Street, but it's Main Street USA. They got signs for Main Street USA. We just head straight down there, and we're headed for the Walt Disney Municipal Park. And this is where the swimming pool was. It is no longer used as a swimming pool. They just couldn't afford the upkeep on it, so they had to shut it down. And this is also where the Midget Autopia had been born. Yes. Born. Had been built up. But you can still see the sign. I kind of want to take a fresh picture of Walt Disney Municipal Park.
That's cool.
There's a really great sign here. It's got Mickey drawn on it. I'm going to pull over here. I'm gonna take a photo of this. It looks like they've... Because this is where Midget Autopia was, is right here. It's all grassed over. It looks like they've put in like a disc golf type of thing. Here, hold my microphone.
I'm gonna Santa Fe Country Club, it says.
Yep.
You want to take down your window there?
Yep. I got to get a picture of the sign. Just because I love it. Even though I've probably got a photo of it somewhere.
Well, you'll be like me. You'll have 15,000 of this or that and how many Superman symbols I have in my phone. But that's okay.
This makes it a lot easier with me driving and you holding the microphone.
Better have it, not need it, than need it, not have it the way I see it.
We can still find the building for the... Marceline Municipal Swimming Pool. Uh-huh. There's a building over it, still over there.
I thought you were talking about the little pond sitting here.
Oh, no, that wouldn't...
This isn't a pond, excuse me.
This is still the park.
It's a park with the...
There's an exercise. It looks like some people out here having a little party out here. That's nice. The picnic tables.
Yeah, this is a nice town.
I wonder if they've...
Oh, my goodness, I recognize some of these little park things that kids... They were like a teeter-totter type thing. But you know how they used to have them at our parks back in the day.
Looks like they got a little fishing dock over here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice, actually. It would be like a lake, not a pond.
It seems like there's more to it than there used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't remember this fishing thing here.
It's pretty high up.
They've done some improvements here to the park. But you can see there's the building.
There's a teeter totter right there. Those are kind of what we used to have at the park.
Yeah, that's the one where you put the other kid up high, you jump off, and that's it for him. You just drop to the ground.
Oh, man, I used to get all sorts of pains. I tell you what, I was thinking about that the other day. I had a cousin who visited me, and when I first met her, her and her brother had done that too. I wasn't mad at them because they didn't know, but they got off of it too soon, and I said, whoa! There goes the lunch.
Marceline Water Tower up ahead. Let's see if we can get over to the swimming pool.
Nice.
I don't know if part of the maintenance of that was keeping Walt Disney's name, if the Disney company was charging them for that. And maybe maybe they were able to reopen the pool, but it's no longer the Walt Disney pool. It looks like it's the Marceline Municipal pool. Let me have a look over here. Because maybe they've gotten the pool back open, but they weren't able to keep Walt Disney's name on it because I bet the company was trying to charge them something. Because, it says Marceline Municipal
Swimming Pool.
Yeah. I'm assuming. This is how much faith I have in the modern Disney company.
There's assumptions there, though. We don't want to.
Yeah.
We don't want to put
Let's
any.
Let's see what this sign says.
We don't want to put anything against the.
Yeah. Well, they might have had to just refurbish the whole
thing.
Yeah, could
be. And, we don't want to put anything against Walt's name.
But if I had Walt Disney's name on it, I would keep it. You know, okay, that's Marceline Disc Golf Course. That's what that sign is. But here's the municipal swimming pool. Let me see. And of course, there's a train going by. The same tracks that Walt used to come by.
Yeah, there's trains here all the time.
He had an uncle that drove a train. He'd meet his uncle there at the train station and get a ride all the way back. But here's where the pool was. Looks like the pool is, in some fashion, still active. It's not currently filled. I mean, it's past September.
Past Labor Day.
But I'm pretty sure this is still where it was with Walt's pool. It just doesn't seem to have Walt's name on it anymore.
It's still got the old-fashioned look, and yet it looks like it's been redone a few times, of course.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Here we go, the Disney Family Farm, Walt's Dreaming Tree Site, and Disney Family Barn Site. Open 365 days a year, dawn till dusk, free to the public. Maintained by the volunteers of the Walt Disney Hometown Museum. And regularly patrolled by the Marceline Police Department, so you behave yourself. Uh-huh. And I like that this says this property is privately owned. Okay, this is still part of the land there. Please treat this piece of Disney history with the respect it deserves.
Absolutely. And it should be.
And I love that they have all these signs. Somebody's got their doggy out here. First sign, as an adult, Walt Disney wrote, "To tell the truth, more things of importance happened to me and Marceline than have happened to me since or are likely to in the future." And which, of course, we said that same exact quote. They have it on the stairway there at the museum. Something just looks different. Of course, it's been 3 years. It seems like they've carved it out a little better. Well, of course, the son of the Dreaming Tree, I'm sure, is a lot bigger than it was in previous years that I've been out here.
Yeah.
because it's had a lot of time to grow. And they even watered it with some water from the rivers of America, I believe. It'll say so on the sign, but you know, they went and got some water from Disneyland and put it on here to water the tree and did a big dedication for it, which I'm sure we'll see the sign. But they have it marked where that you can see the sign up ahead of where the original tree was, which you can kind of see it's where it's fallen over. I don't know if they've taken it out since then. It's been 3 years, but you can see where it fell. Hello, puppy. Now you have to keep in mind that this was probably a lot of fields originally when Walt was here. You know, it was a farm.
Yeah.
Elias and his older sons that stuck around that didn't go back to Chicago were not very good at farming, though, so it didn't last. Here we go. Son of Dreaming Tree. This Dreaming Tree sapling was planted by Walt's grandson, Bradford Disney Lund, with the assistance of Walt Disney World Ambassador Sarah Spike, Juan Aviles, and Christopher Stewart. Sarah Spike was had stuff at the museum. Soil from the Magic Kingdom and water from the rivers of America were lovingly mixed with soil from this iconic farm during the planting ceremony. September 2004. So it's been nearly 20 years. But it was from a sapling, so yeah, I kind of want to touch it. Like, this is this close you're going to get to the real Dreaming Tree. Yeah. And look how much it has grown, because I remember when I first came here, it seemed small. But it's just, I don't know, something special about it. It's like part of it. There's a little spider over here. Excuse me. I'll have to edit this. As we walk just a little further, they have a little fence up with a sign that says the original Dreaming Tree. And it has a little bit of thing. Talks about in 1906 when Elias Disney purchased this farm, the William Crane Farm. It's on the outskirts here of Marceline. Yeah, that was out here. Let's see. Now, normally from this fence, you can see where the tree in its fallen condition was here. I see a lot of disintegration is not the word I'm looking for. Decomposing. There's a lot of decomposing has happened in the last 3 years, and you can see there's wood bits, but you can't see really the tree itself anymore. But you can see, yeah. But you can see where there's kind of a pit a little bit of where the tree stood.
Yeah, so, I see that.
But yeah, it used to be this tree was laying down over here still from where the weather had taken it finally after however many years it stood here. So it was a very special tree, but it's still a very special place right here.
Yeah, sure.
You just got to imagine Walt and Ruth out here sitting under the tree, Walt drawing pictures and telling Ruth stories. So, but you can see even from this photo here, how different the land was even back when he came back for the dedication, you know, because now that they've let the woods kind of overgrow in here and take this nice little, makes it a nice, like a park.
It was a field at the time. It was a field, and there were some trees, but not a whole lot.
Ooh, fun facts. A total of 3 saplings were produced by seeds harvested from the original Dreaming Tree. In 2003, one of those saplings was planted by Walt's grandson, not more than 30 feet from this location. Second sapling was gifted to Disneyland. It was planted on Tom Sawyer's Island. The third seedling was secretly planted somewhere on the Disney family farm to ensure its historic legacy.
There you go.
And that's nice.
That's a time.
The tree will live on forever.
That's right.
There you go.
That's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Keep it in all the places that we remember Walt.
That's right. But it's just very nice and natural, nature-y out here. And wow, there even the plants out here in this bit of field have grown really tall since the last time I was here. There's some sunflowers out here. See, in the spring of 1906, Elias and Flora Disney moved their family from the hustle and bustle of Chicago to this idyllic 45-acre farm, and I'm about to walk right into a spider web. Purchased from the estate of Civil War veteran William Crane. Wow, a Civil War? Yeah, that would make sense. About 1906. At the time of the move, the farm was largely comprised of 2 fruit orchards where they focus on the cultivation of Wolf River apples. Yeah, that spider ain't—he's supposed to be outside. Don't have to kill him.
No, I'm not trying to kill him. I said knock it down.
Knock the web down. Yeah, he spent all day building that web.
Well, he'll do it again.
Poor spider.
I don't want to get in your face.
I wasn't gonna walk into it. I saw him coming. Alrighty, staff only allowed that away because that'll take you over to the house.
Sure.
Marceline Inspiration. Waltz 1949 film, so dear to my heart, was set in the early 1900s, echoing the time period the Disney family spent in Marceline. For the film, Walt instructed his production designers to create a barn set that reflected his, well, barn set, I guess, that reflected his best memory of the barn he grew up with on this area of the family farm. And this is a recreation of the barn right up here ahead. And there's some stories about this here barn as we read signs as we go along. Walt learns a valuable lesson. When a young Walt decided to hold a circus in the barn, his friends paid 10 cents for the show comprised of a lethargic goat, a pig, and the family dog and cat dressed in Sister Ruth's doll clothing. They were not impressed. When Flora heard the commotion in the barn, she requested Walt refund the admission and shared this wisdom. If you deliver more than your audience expects, they will never be disappointed. A lesson Walt took to heart. So I also learned money back if you don't meet expectations. He had to give those 10 cents back to them kids. But yeah, that was a lesson he learned, that give them more than they expect. Now, I wish Modern Disney was on that whole thing. Well, we don't want to go there. Walt's Happy Place. Oh, look, there's actually some apples on this here tree. I wonder if that's one of the original apple trees or something. I don't know. 1950, Walt used his fondest memories of Marceline to recreate the old family barn in the backyard of his new home, Holmby Hills property in California. Walt used that new barn as a personal workshop for his beloved Carrollwood Pacific Railway. It quickly became his happy place and is regarded as the birthplace of Disney Imagineering. Yep. He built a small miniature train there with one of his people, and I can't remember who it is, and I was talking about that earlier.
Upside down and you'll find yours, I know. This is the way that the apples looked. They're kind of spotty and all. This is the way it looked back in the old days when I used to go to what we call the farm with my grandma and grandpa. These old little bitty,
when they aren't treated with so many chemicals, when they just grow naturally.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to go down there and pick the apples.
Here we go. Welcome to Walt's Barn. This barn was built by volunteers in the summer of 2001 to help celebrate Walt's 100th birthday. It was constructed using the blueprints Walt had commissioned for his own Holmby Hills workshop. Autographs and messages to Walt and Roy are welcomed on the interior of the barn only. All others will be removed.
Ah.
In other words, don't vandalize the place.
Oh, of course.
Now, this is the second place I've been to that I've seen. There's a phone smart code. I don't know what it's for.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's the same code that would be, because the museum had one. I don't know if it's the exact same code here. Phil's going to check it out, see what it is. You might have to get a little closer to get it to scan.
I even have one on here. I don't know.
Well, I know mine will do a QR code, but I've got my hands full of my microphone right now. I don't know if it'll tell you some stuff about the barn. If it actually has like a neat little audio thing, then heck yeah, man! I'm gonna go back to the museum and take the picture.
I can't find mine.
But yeah, I don't know if it'll just take you to a website of it or what.
No.
But anyways, here's Walt's barn.
I'm gonna take a picture of his barn.
Yes, indeedy, sir. I was about to say, if I step over in here, I will be in your picture.
I'm fine with that. Got one of both.
There we go.
Without you.
I think a bug bit my finger because it's itches. And bugs are buzzing me. Doggone it, we got into the outdoors. I already got chigger bites over my legs from the last time I was outdoors doing something. And now I got bites on my hand. So now we step in here.
I wonder what the
the what?
On this.
I don't know, it's a barrel. Well, here's where they've been putting some of the benches that they've collected over the years. See, this is where I wish I'd have brought a marker to right on here. I might be able to find some of the places I've signed this place before.
Yeah, if I had a marker, I would.
I'd mark it in the morning. I'd mark it in the evening.
Oh.
All over this land. Oh, they've got some boards up here. I have signed in a couple of different places. I think the first place I signed was somewhere on this, but the ink fades after a while.
Goofy right here on the bench. That's nice.
Somebody drew a Goofy. And you're going to sit here on the bench, ain't you?
I'm gonna sit on the bench.
This is where I kind of want to look to see who all's written it. But as I walk over here, one of these boards, I believe, is where I have signed my name, and I started putting a year for every time I was coming. I was trying to mark something. Let's see here. Seems like something's been replaced. Well, here's the signature of Steven Silver, creator of Kim Possible. He drew Kim Possible on here. Oh, here we go. Thanks, Walt. Patrick Hurd. He's done some work with there goes Philip's phone. He did some work with Window to the Magic back in the day. He's a friend of his. And I thought pretty much near there is where I had written my name.
Here's a WTTM was here. Oh, and then I wrote the Neverland podcast next to that. So, so I wrote the Neverland podcast and it's fading. I wish I had a better marker. But where is it? I've actually got my name. Oh, wow. I'm sure this makes for great audio with me staring at the ceiling, trying to find where I've written my name on stuff. But yeah, it's hard to find everything. Themeparkhopper.com. There's something I've heard of before. Okay. Yeah, the WTTM is for Window to the Magic. There we go. There's my name, very faded. And I've got a 13 and a 14 marked next to it. I was trying to keep track on years, but I didn't have any markers at the time after that. But goodness sakes, man, I don't have any marker to refresh my name. But that's where I've got my name faded in the Neverland podcast thing. Very, very faded. I just didn't have a good marker. They used to keep markers here that were slowly running out of ink. Next time I come up here, I'm bringing a marker that's going to have some good solid ink in it, and I'm going to make sure I make a mark that stays permanent. That's for sure and truly. They used to have over here in the corner, they had a picture of like a little cardboard cutout of Walt being like a ringmaster. And he was in the corner, and they had some of the story about him doing a show in the barn. Because this, as far as I know, this might even be the same location that the barn was back when he was a kid.
I don't know. I would think they would try to put it in the same spot.
So that might be the case. But this is a recreation. Here we go. But that is our trip here in Marceline. Okay, so the usuals. We want to thank Ricky Pope, Darren Wilhite of the Will and the Height and Wall Show. Well, of course, Ricky Pope, remember, of course, from the Christian Nerds Unite. And, of course, Karen Kennedy, all for helping me out with the intro. They're the voices that you hear bringing us in. I do appreciate them. Make sure you visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com. There'll be a link right in there for my podcast reviews. Please leave us a review. And, hey, if you happen to have a podcast, you want to get your reviews worldwide, you can use my podcast reviews for as low as like $50 a year. You can get all your reviews sent to you. It's a really nice, nice service. Which, hey, I could use some reviews. I haven't gotten any in a while. I'd like to see what y'all are thinking. Are you enjoying the show? You know, leave a comment on YouTube where I'm going to leave this video up. You know, communicate with me. I love hearing from you. Send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. I have been informed that, yes, the voicemail has indeed been shut down because I wasn't doing anything with it. We're also, of course, we are on Twitter, but the only thing I do on Twitter really is post about the episodes being up. You know, and then, of course, we do have a Facebook fan page and a group, and that's where I do like to share when I see something neat that's coming out or something I want to share with you. I will post it over there. So go in there and have some discussion. Occasionally, it's fun to even ask you some questions. I have a question I even posed of what some of your favorite old like catchphrases would be from some classic cartoons. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. So make sure you go and visit us on Facebook. But we've got a lot of fun coming up in the next couple episodes. Like I said, Marshall Younger, Phil Lawler, two writers at two different things from The Adventures in the Odyssey, one of the longest running radio shows ever. Yes, it is still going. And audio drama and audio comedy, it's still going on out there. And you can definitely check it out and hear a lot of great stories. And I got two great storytellers coming on to tell me about some of their craft. And I really enjoyed talking to them. I think you're going to enjoy hearing it in the next couple of weeks. I might even have a few more people I'm going to try to talk to as well. But until next week, get lost in an adventure!
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.